Okay, Ramban Parshas Baaloscha. So the Ramban starts off the Parsha with quoting Rashi. Rashi says Baaloscha Saneros that Aaron, he brings a medrash, Aaron was feeling bad because him and his Shevet did not take part in the Chanukah Sanasim. Shevet Levi did not bring a carbon. So he felt bad. And Hashem says, don't feel bad because yours is greater than theirs. You get to be Madlik and mate of the Neros every day, morning and night. Okay, that's what Rashi quotes. So the Ramban doesn't understand this. Ramban says, what's this, the menorah? There's lots of things that, first of all, Aaron's the one who brought all those carbonos himself. He's the Kohen. Secondly, there's lots of stuff that Aaron does that nobody else does, not just the menorah. He brings the Minchas Chavitim every day, twice. He brings the Ketores. He's the one who brings the Avodah Yom Kippurim. All these things are just Aaron. Special Aaron. No one else has anything to do with it. Minchas Chavitim, the Avodah Yom Kippurim. There's lots of stuff that Aaron did. So why did Hashem especially be Menachem him with the menorah? So, the Ramban says, this is a pretty famous Ramban, that it is not talking about that he'll get to do the menorah in the Mikdash every day, but rather it was saying that there'll be a menorah that everyone's going to do every day that's more important, and that's the Chanukah menorah, and that miracle would be brought about by the Chashmonaim, meaning the Kohanim. So it's the Kohanim that helped bring about the miracle of Chanukah, and so in that way, his shevet would have a chelik and a mitzvah that would be way past the Beis HaMikdash. It would be the Chanukah menorah that would be lit every year by everyone, even throughout all the generations. Okay, now what's interesting is, that's the famous part. The next pasuk says, Vayaskein Aaron, that he did the menorah, el mol p'nei ha-menorah. So the Ramban's a little bit bothered by, why does it say Vayaskein Aaron, as opposed to Aaron Abanov? Meaning you don't have to be the Kohen Gadol to light the menorah. So why is it Aaron lit the menorah and not everybody else? So the Ramban suggests that Aaron is the one who lit the menorah. It's true it was kosher for any Kohen to light the menorah, but Aaron's the one who did it. And one possibility is because of the things that the menorah is meramis to in Shemayim, Alpi Kabbalah, whatever, is very special, and therefore Aaron wanted to do it. Or it's possible, he says, maybe rumors in a pasuk that Hashem wanted Aaron specifically to do it while he was alive. It's just, you know, like Rashi, this was a nechama to Aaron, that he had nothing to do with, he was not the Nasiim, which Aaron was the Nasi for Shevet Levi. He had no part in the Nasius, so it makes sense he personally would have something like the menorah. But like the Ramban's pshat, it's just Ladoros, and then this is more of a question. And so therefore he has to come on and just say, maybe Aaron happy to do it, because of its how chashuv it was. So that Hara, by the way, is that they brought here in the article I saw from Rabbi Yaakov. Okay, now we have the discrepancy of the ages of the Levium. So in last week's Parsha, was it last week, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, it said that the Levium were supposed to be from age 30 to 50. That's when you're a Levi. And here we go. In this week's Parsha, Pasuk Chaf Dalet, all of a sudden it says when they're 25. What in the world? What is it? Is it 25 or 30? So Rashi asked this question and says that from 25 to 30 they practiced. And then from 30 they would actually work in the Beis HaMikdash. And from here you see a Talmud that didn't see a Siman Yafa in Yeshiva after learning 5 years. You don't see a Siman Yafa, but Talmudo, it's not going to happen. Okay, so putting that last part of the thing aside, that's Rashi's pshat, that for 5 years they practiced. The Ramban disagrees. Well, at least that may be an opinion in the Sifri, but there are other opinions. And what he thinks the pshat is that 30 to 50 was really the years that they forced people to join, from 30 to 50. However, if you, really the age Hashem was interested in you volunteering is 25. So if you're, but he says people, nobody, you know, because people are well known to be in their 20s or 30s or 40s or 50s, but people don't know exactly what year you are. When a person turns 20, it's a big deal. When they turn 30, it's a big deal. 25, not as big of a deal. So not everybody knows who's 25 and 24 and 26. Everybody knows if you're 20 or 30 or 40 or 50. So the people are, you know, you must come when you're 30, and everybody's gonna know you're 30. If you know that you're 25, no, not everybody else necessarily knows you're 25, you know, I don't know if back in the Midbar they had birthday parties, you know, I don't know if it was such a big deal then. You know when you're 20. You know what your age you are, not necessarily everybody else. Everybody else knows when you turn 20. They don't know when you turn 25. So basically, if you know you're 25, then you can come and, you should come and volunteer. He also mentions that until 30, you weren't given a specific job. It was only once you turned 30 that you got a specific job, as we've mentioned last week. I think it says here again this week. Certainly mentioned it last week, that if someone, every Levi had their own particular job, and if you did a job that was not your job, it's Chiyuv Misa. So you weren't given an official job till you were 30, but you're supposed to come from time you were 25. That's what he says. Ramban also points out that in times of David HaMelech, it changed to 20. Because the 30, you need to be strong to carry stuff. But once they got to the Beis HaMikdash and they're now carrying the Mishkan everywhere, so then it went back to 20. And it was from 20 years and on that you had to go, the Levim had to go work in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, what happened? Okay, so that's the earlier part. What about the second part when they turned 50? What do you do after you retire, after you turn 50? So Rashi says you go back to Ne'ila Sharim, Shir, and to Inas Agamos. So you can open and close the gates, you can sing, and you could load wagons. That's what you do after age 50. And the Ramban says, no, that's not what the Sifri says. You don't go back to singing. So the Ramban says, you don't go back to Shir because that was the main avoda. And if you're not Roy Lamasa, we're afraid you're going to go back to carrying. So once you couldn't carry anymore, they said, don't sing anymore. Okay, then we have the mitzvah of bringing the Korban Pesach, that they are mitzvah in the Midbar. So the Rabban explains, Hashem already told them they had to bring the Korban Pesach. Okay, but in Israel they had to bring the Korban Pesach. Ledoros, we don't bring the Korban Pesach outside of Israel, except in the Midbar, they were supposed to bring it that year, possibly every year, well, every year in the Midbar. And why did they not? They only brought it once. So it says that the Torah is telling you Genusan that they only brought that one Pesach that year. So why is it Genusan? So the Pshat the Ramban likes is that since they sinned with the Meraglim, because of that, it made it that this Ruach Tzfonis would not blow. And therefore, they couldn't, they had children after that point. They couldn't give them a Bris Mila because it says, that's what the Gemara says, they couldn't give them a Bris Mila in the Midbar because there was no Ruach Tzfonis and therefore it was dangerous to circumcise their children. So they did not circumcise their children. If your children and Avadim are not circumcised, that prevents you from eating Korban Pesach. So they perforce, they had no choice. They couldn't do the Korban Pesach after that because they couldn't do Bris Mila. And after that year, they had kids who had been born. They could not do Bris Mila. That stopped them from doing the Korban Pesach. That's the pshat he likes. The pshat he does not like is Misabir Begnusin that they just were somehow lazy and didn't bring it for no reason. In other words, that they could have brought it, that the fact that their kids did not have a Bris Mila would not have stopped them from doing it, that they were, but they were just lazy. The Ramban does not like that pshat. He says for sure Moshe would have forced them to bring it. It's the other thing. They couldn't have brought it because, their Mila of their Avodim and their Banim was Ma'akev. Now, the Ramban, I'm just pointing out, says something very unusual here. It says, because they couldn't mal their kids, lefikach nasru b'chol ha-kadshim. So that's a big chiddush. They were usher in all kadshim, not just Korban Pesach. We know that the Pasuk says, for Korban Pesach, you can't be an Arel, and your kids can't be an Arel. But that having children who don't have a Bris Mila stops you from eating other Korbanos, that's a big chiddush that the Ramban writes here. Okay, then we have the person who can't bring the Korban Pesach because they are Bederech Rechoka. Rashi says, what's Bederech Rechoka? That means, at the time of Shechita, you were not in the Azara. So the Ramban says, that's Rabbi Elazar Shita, why would he go like that? We would go with the Shita, we would paskin like Rabbi Akiva, which means that you were too far away, meaning that from wherever you were, you were too far of a walk to make it to the Beis HaMikdash by Zman Shechita. Now that means wherever you were close enough that you could get there by Zman Achila. In other words, it says that you're 15 mil away. That's the cutoff point. Someone's 15 mil away. Because 15 mil away, it'll take you, you only have, at, meaning at the time that the, it's time to start Shechta, the current Pesach, which is Chatos and Yudalid, or whatever, Tchilas Bein Arbayim and Yudalid, so, you have, X amount of hours till nighttime, 6 hours, let's say, whatever, till nighttime, I'm just being approximate, to get there to the Azara, you're not gonna make it. 15 mil is too far away to walk to the Azara, in half a day. Now, it is enough to get there by night. You'll still be able to eat it. So you could just tell someone, okay, you guys bring the Karban Pesach for me. I'll get there tonight. I'll eat it. That's still called Bederech HaChokah. And in that case, you do not need to bring the first Karban Pesach at the correct time. You can bring it at the second time. However, the Ramban says, the way he's going, the halacha is that you can bring it. You can decide to do that if you want. I mean, you can send a shliach to bring the Karban Pesach for you, even though you will not arrive in time for the Zman Shechita. You'll just arrive for the Zman, you'll just arrive for the Zman Achila at night. That's okay. You have your options. You could do it either way. You could choose whichever way you want. That's how the Ramban says we go.
Okay.
That's not everybody agrees. The Rambam disagrees, but that's what he paskins. Okay. Then we have the Torah describing when the Jews would move, so it's a little bit at length. It says all the details of when the Aron would move. It says, "Baharich Ananan al Mishkan Yamim Rabim." Sometimes the Aron would stay many days, but they still would not move. Sometimes it would stay Yamim Mispar, and sometimes it would stay Me'erevad Boker one day, one night even Me'erevad Boker, just one night, and then it would go, or one day, one night, 24 hours. And then go, or Yomayim, 2 days, Chodesh, a month, or Yomim, years, whatever, different permutations. The Ramban says, it's possible that that was it, meaning that's over the 40 years. What was it like? Well, the Ramban says it was rough, because sometimes you'd have to move real quickly, sometimes you wouldn't. But those examples the Torah gave, those are the actual examples. They're not, could be this, could be that. Those were it. Sometimes it happened this way, sometimes it happened that. Those were the only ways it happened. Sometimes it was one night, sometimes day and night, sometimes it was days, months, years, but it wasn't like any other permutation. And you also see the Shvach of Klai Yisrael that no matter how hard it was, no one ever told them how long they'd be somewhere, right? They would just stay there, maybe you'll be there for 6 hours, you unpack your stuff, time to go. Wow. Well, you're there just one night, time to go, and you didn't know that. Or you might be there 20 years. You know, you had no idea. So that's, they had Namun and Hashem, and they followed Hashem wherever Hashem would take them. Obviously, I think, meant to be a message, Ladoros. Okay, then we have the Torah describing the blowing of the Chatzotros. And it says that when they would be time to move, so there was, a Tekiah, Trua Tekiah would be time to move. Anyway, the Ramban just has an interesting thing here, LP Kabbalah. Which is that Tekiah, this is good to remember, Rosh Hashanah time. Tekiah is Midas HaRachamim. Tekiah is Midas HaRachamim. And as it says, Yemincha Pshuta Lekabel Shavim. So that's, Tekiah is a Pshuta, one long sound, and Yemincha is Pshuta, Yemincha, the right hand, which is Rachamim and Chesed. It's Pshuta to get Shavim, so that's a remez to Midas HaRachamim, he says. And Trua is a remez to Midas Adin. Now, Midas Adin could be, you know, usually we associate that with negative, but it could be Midas Adin on your enemies. It's good, meaning you blow truas at when you're at war. I think everybody remembers those, that audio of Rabbi Gurin in the Six-Day War, blowing truas all over the place. But that's what you win in war with blowing the truas. Like the Ramban quotes, V'chitzimo milchama v'ariyosim. And then be an usum misanecha mi panecha. Anyway, but as he says, you're in notzeach machama with a trua. And, cause that's midas adin, and midas harachmim is the tekiah. Okay, the inyan of tekiah, trua, tekiah. Okay, that's already have to be a bigger, makubal and know exactly what he means here. But anyway, something interesting to keep in mind for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Okay. Okay, then we have how, exactly how everything moves. We can skip that. Then we have, Yisro. So Moshe tries to convince Yisro to stay. According to the Ramban, he is successful, actually, and Yisro decided not to go. But what happened was Yisro had wanted to leave because he assumed he would not get any land, he would not get any Yerusha. So he wasn't going to stay. He thought they'd give him maybe some money, but he wasn't going to get a Yerusha. So as Moshe says, go with us, ve'itav nulach. He thought that just means money or whatever. He wasn't going to stay. He said, El arti velamo ladati elech, which is a way of saying, I'll go where I get land. And then, or whatever, he wanted an achuza for generations. So then Moshe responds, Al na tazovusanu. And he says, Mikal tov asher hahu asher yitiv Hashem lanu neitiv lach. That was a way of saying, you'll get something, you'll get some land. And then he decided to stay. That's the Ramban's understanding that Yisro did not go home. Or at least decide to stay with Kal Yisro. Okay. Okay, then we have the Vahibin to Aaron, right, where it has the nun in the front and the one in the back, is to be mafsik bein Piranus the Piranus. And what are the two Piranuses? That is the question. So there's a Gemara that talks about this, and the Gemara in Shabbos, and Rashi there explains that the Gemara says Piranus Shnia was the Bahiyam Kimis Onanim, that they were complainers. And then the first Piranus is that his Avutava Hasafsuf. Meaning that they wanted the quail. Okay, they wanted the buzzer. So again, that means the second Piranus of is Vayam Kimisonin and the complaining. And the first one, which means the previous one, was them asking about the meat. So the Ramban says that's out of order. What are you talking about? Vayam Kimisonim came first. And presumably it's in order. So rather, the Ramban says the first issue was not what Rashi says. Rather, it was that they ran away from Har Sinai. Again, Rashi says that is what it says. That was the Piranus Rishona. It's just Rashi over there in the Gemara says that it's within those 3 days they had the tava on the and the for the meat, and they complained about the meat. The Ramban says no, it's Vayusim Har Sinai. The problem was Ketina Kabarech Mebeis HaSefer. That was the first thing. That was the first Piranus, that they were too happy to be running away from Har Sinai. And as he explained, they were afraid that if we stay here any longer, maybe it'll be 614 mitzvahs, 615 mitzvahs. They had to get out of there. They wanted to get out of there. And the Ramban says, maybe if not for this chet, they would have gone straight into Eretz Israel. Okay, then just that thing, the complainers, what exactly of error was that? So the Ramban says they were complaining that they had to go in the Midbar. They were sick of it, and they didn't want to follow Hashem in the Midbar. And it was an aver because Hashem had given them everything they needed, the man, everything. They should have gone with Hashem, but Simcha v'tov lev v'merav kol, they had everything they needed. And they were going like as if they were being dragged, complaining. So, and it says, Vayashuvu vayivku gam b'nei Yisrael. In other words, they didn't take Musar from the first time they complained, then they complained about the Busar after that. So, but this first one was just complaining that it was rough in the Midbar, and that was the first problem, the first Piranus. They see they're going into the Midbar, leaving Har Sinai, which was their Yishuv, they're complaining about it. And the second one was where they complained about not having a Busar. So they said, Miachilina Busar is going to feed us Busar. So the Ramban explains, yes, of course they had some meat, as we all know, but not enough to eat Busar every day. And it says that they remembered, they complained, we remember the fish we got for free. Who was giving them fish for free? The Ramban says, very often you have people working for the king, so that's they're able to take what they want from fishermen's catch, and nobody's supposed to bother them because they're working for the king. That kind of idea, that's how they got it for free, quote-unquote, because they were slaving away, or perhaps, he says, when they were slaving in the field, they were allowed to take some food. That's how they got it for free. Since when this power giving them free food, it means while they're working, it was given to them for free. Moshe says in Pasuk Gedal, "Lo chol avinina levadila." Says it's kalamazah. I can't handle them all by myself. What would it help them to give them the 70 zakenim? They're not going to help them either. So it wasn't so much. I mean, we know even if the people always complain to Moshe, even after the receiving zakenim, but Moshe felt that they would, if there were 70 zakenim, would take some of the pressure off of him because the 70 zakenim would calm them down. Even though we're all going to complain about Moshe anyway, at least the 70 zakenim would calm them down. That's why he said he needed help. Now, these 70 zakenim, what's the Indian of the number 70? So the Rabban says that there were 70 gayim, they have 70 languages, there's 70 malachim in shamayim that are lined up against this, connected our world. The cows we bring on, the cows that we bring, pariachag, that we bring on, Sukkot, the pariachag, yes. So that also equals up to 70. That's also remez to the Goyim. And to be mevatel the koach of the Umas Olam, which is 70, we went down to Mitzrayim with 70. The Shoftim in general in the Sanhedrin had to be 70, because this way it would include all the different kochos, and there's one on top, like Klal Yisrael's on top, so there's one person on top, Moshe was on top, so that's the 71. And the Shema Mefarish is 72 letters, it's that plus Hashem on top. I think that's what he was saying. But 70 is the number that's right for the Shekhinah to rest on the Klal Yisrael. Okay, so now Hashem tells them to take the 70 Zakenim, and they're going to get Nevuah. So now they got Nevuah, the Rabban explains, via Moshe. That is, it's not like Hashem appeared to the 70 Zakenim in a dream, Hashem appeared to Moshe, and Moshe somehow was able to spread the Ruach HaKodesh onto them. They got Nevuah, and meaning they got to see what Moshe was told. They got Moshe's Nevuah. I guess on their level, but they got Moshe's Nevuah. So they all not got Nevuah, but afterwards it stopped. Mostly, except there's Eldad and Meda, Misnabe v'machane. So that's why, I'm just going a little bit out of order here. But that's why, Yeshua wanted to kill them, because they looked like they were getting their own private Nevuah. And that would look like they, didn't get real Nevuah. So, that's why Yeshua said claim. And Moshe, as any of us say, he said, I wish they would all be Nevi'im. But the Rabban says, from Chazal, we see that the issue was, you're not supposed to give, say, Nevuah in front of your Rebbe if you're talking about the future. So here, they were in front of their Rebbe, they were talking about, if they were talking about, but Moshe was going to die, so then that was the issue why Yoshua said claim, because it was mor halacha bifne, a type of mor halacha bifnei rabo. You're supposed to get Nevuah about the future in front of your Rebbe. Okay, I just went a little out of order going back. So Moshe had said he needed help. These 70 zakenim are going to help him, and Hashem says, okay, so the Nevuah is going to come from you. Why? Because it's like someone who's given a job, and they get paid well, and then they say, this job's too much for me, I need helpers. So the boss says, okay, you get helpers, but it's coming out of your salary. So similarly here, Chazal tell us that Moshe got Nevuah, and he says he needs helpers. He said, okay, so the Nevuah is coming from you. It's that kind of idea. Hashem gave him Nevuah and Koach to do for everybody. If he says he needs helpers, so then Nevuah is going to come from him. But the Medrash ends off, but still Moshe, with Moshe having to do it, it wasn't like Moshe took out of his salary, or meaning got a lower Nevuah, he wasn't a chas or anything. And the Rabban also adds that he thinks the Zakenim always knew when Hashem told Moshe ben Nevuah, they continued to get that. I mean, not all, but they got whatever was Tzarchi Shaitam, they needed, HaMikra Moshe Yevolahem, the Midbar, things that would happen to the Midbar, they also got that Nevuah. They continued to get that Nevuah via Moshe. And this also helps on Moshe, because if they continue to get the Nevuah, so then each Shevik could go tell his group, what the Nevuah was, and this way people wouldn't bother Moshe as much. Okay. Then we have, so Moshe says, how am I going to get them meat? He says, Basar, all these people, Basar etin lahem, so how am I going to possibly do it? And Hashem says, Hayash, I'm the Tixar. So Rashi brings that Rabbi Kiva says that, it meant literally, how could it be? How is it going to be that there's going to be enough meat or whatever, meat to feed all these people? And that, of course, was terrible. Of course, Hashem could do it, and that was bad. And Rabbi Shimon argues, according to Rashi, and Rabbi Shimon says, no. Moshe never said that. Of course, he knew that Hashem could do it. Rather, he was saying that Hashem, you're gonna, if you give them basar, so then they're gonna die from the basar, because as it's a punishment, that you can't, you know, Hashem, you wouldn't do that. That wouldn't look good. Like, give them the basar and then kill them. That wouldn't look good. And then Hashem responds, hey, Hashem tikzer. But like Rabbi Akiva, it was kind of like a chet for Moshe. He said, Hashem, how could you do it? And Hashem responded, Hashem, hey, Hashem tikzer, of course I could do it. That's Rashi's version. The Ramban explains that, okay, it's a Pella, what is the answer? What's the answer? I mean, what Rabbi Shimon asked Rabbi Akiva is, of course, a huge question. What do you mean? How could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu would say such a thing? But the Ramban says, Pashup Shad is like, in the Psukim is like the Ramban, is like the Rabbi Akiva, rather. The Ramban explains that it wasn't that Moshe didn't think that Hashem could make Nisim. Of course, Moshe knew Hashem could make Nisim, of all people. You know, Moshe knew Hashem could make Nisim. What he's saying is that it's kind of like what Shimon says, because they were going to get this meat and they were going to eat it and die, so that can't be an ace. Meaning Hashem would not make an ace that'll look good and be bad. Nisim are either kula latova or lara. Like if it's if yotza ketzef, then it'll be an ace bad. If it'll be mana from shemayim, it'll be an ace good. We're not going to have an ace that appears good and really is bad. That doesn't work with nisim. Hashem doesn't do that with nisim. That Hashem would do with teva. But things min shemayim, they are all good. When Hashem makes an ace, it's a tova. Unless again, it's some yotza ketzef, you know, to do a miraculous destruction. But to have basar miraculously be made, meaning that it's not real basar, that Hashem invented it, created it right now, and then that be lara, you know, the good and the bad all mixed together, that's not nisim. That's derech hateva. And therefore, Moshe said, derech hateva, that's not possible, derech hateva, that it should have all these meat. It's not possible in derech hateva. And Hashem responded to him, I can do derech hateva. I can make nisim in derech hateva. Watch this. And it says the wind blew the whole night, and it wasn't the wind, the kind of wind that blew, the Ramban says. It doesn't sound like the Ruach Hazah, the wind that blew in the Kriyas Yamsuf that split the sea. It was regular wind. But Hashem made it, that it ever worked out. You know, it wasn't an ace, brand new created quail. Hashem made an ace that the wind blew, and it blew him in. It wasn't nace. It was like an ace nister kind of Hashem, and not mamish, but it wasn't a yesh mayayin kind of thing. So that was Moshe's question, how could it be? And that was the answer that Hashem could use. Could do it with me, the Sad, with Derech HaTeva also. Okay. Then just at the end of the Parsha, when Aaron and Moshe, Miriam speaks about Moshe, I'm sorry, Miriam speaks to Aaron about Moshe and says, how come Moshe divorced his wife? We're in the vein, we didn't have to do that. And then Hashem appears to them, Pisom. So Ramban just said something fascinating, which I didn't know, that the word Pisom, so it means suddenly. He brings Uncleus who says it means immediately, that as soon as they spoke Lashon Hara, Hashem appeared immediately, like quickly, to Hashem was makbid on Moshe's covet immediately. Moshe was not makbid at all, but Hashem was makbid for him. The other possibility is suddenly, but either way, it comes from the word pesi, which I didn't know. Pisom, suddenly comes from the word pesi, which is a fool. Like, you didn't realize it. So if you didn't know something was coming suddenly, you're like a pesi, a fool, and didn't realize. If you're doing something quickly, you'll also end up being a fool. Because if you don't think about what you're doing, you're going to end up being a fool. But either way, that's pisom comes from the word pesi. I didn't know that. Okay, and that's it.